Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Max and Friends. If you're joining me for the first time tonight, welcome to Max and Friends. If you've been here forever, welcome back. You know how we roll. Having a good time here. How was your weekend? What's going on? Halloween is just around the corner, so I need you all to tweet me at Max Tucci, hashtag your Halloween costume ideas and everything else going on with your life, because I want to know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do for Halloween yet this year. You know, there is, tweet me what you think we should do for Halloween at Max Tucci, hashtag Halloween 2015. So here we are tonight on LA Talk Radio. We've got a lot going on because we've got a really fun guest joining me shortly from the Ving Project. What is the Ving Project? What does it all mean? Well, it's time for my young listeners, my cool, groovy listeners between the ages of 14 and 18. I think we'll find out more, but tune in, get ready to be inspired because there's a lot going on with the Ving Project. And I found out about Ving from The View. So we got to give a shout out to everyone at The View and give some love to Whoopi Goldberg. There was a bus fire. Her bus caught on fire. Crazy in Canada over the weekend. She's fine. Yes, she is. All is well with Whoopi. But thanks to The View for introducing us to the Ving Project. Speaking of things going on in introductions, I introduced you to an awesome, awesome songwriter, gosh, years ago, Thomas Hibner. And he has been, really, you guys love him. You love his songs, and you request them often. And sorry that we haven't really played songs in a while, but we've got so much to talk about, so we don't have time for songs. But tonight we do. And Thomas Hibner, he constantly inspires me by thinking that I inspire him because I told him to dream bigger. And I always believe that for everyone. Your life is big. Keep reaching. You have to dream bigger. So Thomas Hibner totally is dreaming bigger. And he's writing about all this stuff on Facebook and how Max Tucci told him to dream bigger. But really, what inspires me about Thomas Hibner is that every time he writes that, it inspires me so much because I realize that we made a difference in his life to tell him to dream bigger, and he's doing that. So for everyone tuning in tonight, really, I want you to dream bigger. You know, don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon, really, because you have to dream bigger. Life is, the universe is rising up every single day to meet you, and I know we're getting preachy here in the opening part of the show, but the reason why is because together we rise and we can do so much. And that's really what the Ving Project is about. It's about doing so much with a certain amount of money. But before we get there, I've got to give one of my favorite listeners, Meganella. Do I even say that right? Because it's your Twitter handle. So I know you've been listening for years, but I think I say it right. It's like Megan and Ella. How you doing? Right? But you love his music. We love you. Today is your 29th birthday, so we give you a big, massive shout-out and a happy birthday. Hey, Ronnie, do we have some happy birthday music? I know I'm throwing this in totally last second, but, you know, I love my listeners, so we got to hook them up, right? So check that, and Meganella tweets all the time. She's been a little absent lately, and that's okay, but I want you to know that we're always thinking of you, even if you're not tweeting us. That's why tonight I tweeted you, and here we are. It's your birthday. So I'm so glad that you tweet us. Tweet me often, at Max Tucci. Let me know what's going on with you. Let's just play a quick something, a little happy birthday for one of my favorite listeners, Meganella.
We hit it. We sing happy birthday to you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
This is your birthday song.
Oh,
celebrate
We do. We sing happy birthday to you. Thanks so much for always tuning in to Max and Friends. So tonight we're going to talk about this Ving project. Ving, V-I-N-G, Ving project. Tweet it, look it up, Google it, search it, do what you need to do. But Jill is going to be joining me because we're going to be talking about right here tonight on Max and Friends on how you can get involved. And then after we have the Ving project, we're going to be playing some Thomas Hibner that you mean so much to me, so stick around for that. And then afterwards, we're going to be playing some of, I love Alan Watts. You all know I love Alan Watts. So, you are just ego in a bag of skin. Well, that's what Alan Watts is going to teach tonight at Max and Friends for Life class. But before we get there, let's hit Hot Topics, because I have one.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls, pick a topic and you know we're going to drop it on.
You know we're going to drop it on Max and Friends, and the Ving Project is my hot topic because it's a national movement sparking the next generation of givers. You know, I'm totally about giving back, paying it forward, being involved, just giving. Just giving, 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 right? So this is what the Ving Project is about. It's about giving. It's for the next generation. All you millennials and under. Actually, I think you're not even millennials. You're even younger now. But backed by an anonymous family, Ving invites teens 14 through 18 across the country to empower an individual in need by answering the Ving question. So here's the question. I propose it all to you tonight. If you had $1,000 to give to a person in need, who would you Ving it to? Well, I want to know. So tweet me at Max Tucci, hashtag Ving, V-I-N-G, and let me know if you had $1,000 and you could give it to anybody in need, who would you give it to? Let me know. And let me know why you would give it to them too. But you know what? This movement has been featured on ABC, World News with our boy David Muir, and of course on The View. And we got to just get into this because I'm all about giving back. So tonight here on Max and Friends, you're going to learn about the Ving Project. And I would love for you to welcome the executive director of the Ving Project Chicago, Jill McLean. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Hey, Max. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. We've been trying to get you here forever. And I'm so glad you're here. But it's good that, you know, you're really going out there full force, teaching our next generation of givers to give back. But are they teaching you is the question. That's what I feel.
Oh, my gosh. We learn something new with each teen. I mean, it's like snowflakes. It sounds so cheesy. But seriously, I mean, every teen has a new idea, a new person they want to help, a different situation that's come up. And it's so exciting to get to, you know, hand over the reins to them and say, you know, you made your case for who deserves $1,000. Here's a check. And now go. Go and feel what it's like to give it away and to empower someone.
It's amazing. Well, now, since launching in November of 2014, over 50 teens have experienced the joy of giving through Ving Project. The goal is for hundreds of these to happen next year in all 50 states across the country. So let's go, California. California, Connecticut, Florida, you're all are next. But so far, $50,000. Let's just talk about what's with the name and what does Ving stand for?
Yeah, sure. So Ving is the second part of the word giving, V-I-N-G, and our hashtag is Ving Project.
Okay, cool.
So it's the second half of the word giving, but also receiving, believing, loving, thriving, achieving, all of these amazing words end in Ving, and it was an awesome name, we thought.
It's very cool. Now, teens giving away surprise checks for $1,000. How did this whole idea get started? And I love that the family is anonymous. So how did this get started?
Yeah, so the family is based here in Chicago, although we are open to teens across the country. And they, at the heart of this all, wanted to find a way to empower teens to help others, to feel that they are capable right now. But you don't have to wait until you grow up to help someone or to give or to see yourself as capable of doing something like this. You can do it right now. So all that we're asking is for teens to make their case for who deserves the money. So, you know, you got to speak up. You got to kind of be convincing and share a story about someone who you think deserves the money. But it's something new. There's nothing like this out there right now that we found. So it's exciting to kind of blaze the trail in this way of teens giving.
it's an amazing thing. You know, my mother, since a child, has always taught us to give back. I've been on junior chair committee since I was like literally 9 years old. And so I get it. But, you know, it's always the vision of like a gala or like some really big event is really hard for kids to grasp unless you tell them it's like a birthday party. So this I love because it's simple and it's from the heart. It is really from the heart. So why did Bing choose teens to focus on?
Well, I think you kind of nailed it in what you just said, that, you know, teens these days, they can get involved in giving back in the sense of maybe raising money at school. There's so many causes that are worthy, and we are, you know, excited for teens to be involved in whatever way they choose. However, when you're raising money for a big cause or a big organization, you don't always get to see where the money goes to. Uh-huh. And so I think what's so neat about Zing is that the teen is the one to ring the doorbell, plan the surprise, knock on the door, and hand a check into the hands of someone who they know needs it, deserves it, and will use it to get back up on their feet. And so I think, you know, that's what kind of sets us apart.
Absolutely. Now, you know, you're based in Chicago, but the program is clearly national. We connected, as you guys know, because I told you, after I saw Ving on ABC's The View. Check your local listings. But now, have you gotten a national boost since then?
Yeah, it was really cool after that first, you know, national hit. When we were on The View, Raven Simone announced and said, you know, today Ving is announcing they're open to kids across the country, so it's not just Illinois anymore. Although we love Illinois. but it's exciting. We got applications in from Connecticut, Florida, Michigan, within weeks right after. And, you know, we just did World News with David Muir, as you mentioned, last week. And so the hope is just to keep putting the word out there. You know, we're not, you know, we're hoping that by being on your show tonight, that there's someone listening, that there's, even if you're not 14 to 18 and you know a teen, tell them about this. It's just such a great opportunity, and there's no catch. I mean, there's not. It's just make a video, tell us who needs the money, and if your video is selected, we'll give you the money and you give it away.
It's that simple. We're going to break that down again because, you know, kids, forget kids, anyone in general. If it sounds too good to be true, is it? Not at all. And that's why we're going to break it down tonight here on Max and Friends, the Ving Project. But before we get back to the Ving Project, we got to play a song. And this is for all you tuning in tonight. You all mean so much to me. Thomas Hibner, so do you. And everyone tuning in, if you have someone that means so much to you and you want to give them that $1,000, well, we're going to let you know how when we come back. We're going to break it down on Max and Friends. But right now, That You Mean So Much to Me by Thomas Hibner.
Walking around trying to figure it out, a missing part that's lost inside of me. Every once in a while there would be some teardrops hitting the ground wherever I go. It's not easy for me to let you go, even though I pretend it didn't bother me. Stop thinking about you, that you mean so much to me. Knowing we were close, having so much to say about you. Watching you walk away without saying anything towards something that could have been different right now. All I was trying to do was to show my love to you. So much to me. Every day wherever I go, pain of losing you made me think about you even more. I can't stop thinking about you, that you mean so much to me. Close, so much to say about you. Watching you walk away without saying anything towards something that could have been different right now. All I was trying to do was to show my love to you. Waiting for your blessing, knowing that you mean so much. Side where I regret something, what I should have told you. It's not easy for me to let you go, but one day my heart will let you go. With the pain of losing you, I will hide my broken heart. That you mean so much to me. That you mean so much to me. Memories of you will never fly away from my heart. Memories of you will never fly away from my heart. That you mean so much to me. Memories of you will never fly away.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was the song "That You Mean So Much to Me" by Thomas Hibner. You do. You mean so much to us here on Max and Friends. But hey, are you 14 through 18 years old and have someone in your life that means so much to you to the point where you want to give this person that's in need $1,000 and change their life to say, hey, I thought of you? Well, if you want to do that, Ving Project is here tonight telling us how. So welcome back, Jill. And now tell us how teens can give to anyone they want. Is that possible?
So they can give to anybody. There's just three things. They have to be over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. They have to be outside of your family. And then they have to be someone that you could physically hand deliver the check to because you're the giver. So you can't mail it across the country. It needs to be somebody you can hand the check to and do the surprise.
Okay, now who can you nominate for Ving? So that's the nomination. But like, what are some examples that children have nominated to these 50 wonderful people so far?
Yeah, it can be anyone. So it can be, sometimes it's friends' parents. You spend a lot of time with your friends and you find out, hey, their family's going through a rough time right now. Dad's been out of the job for a while. That things aren't looking good. $1,000 could really help right now. Unforeseen medical situation, diagnosis that comes on. It's just like, yeah, insurance isn't going to cover this one. Freak accidents, fires, crashes, just like, when you're a teen and you see bad stuff happening around you, and maybe sometimes you feel like, what can I do? I'm working maybe a part-time job, but I can't really support someone right now or help them out this month. And we want teens to think of us, when they come across the desire to help someone and they think, what can I do? Well, could you Ving them?
Wow. Now, the whole thing to me, people are, I'm getting tweets right now. And no, this is a Facebook message. And they're like, I really want to nominate someone. Okay, cool. So now, thank you for the segue. So what makes a good nomination video?
Yeah, so all of our nominations are done by 60-second videos. So we're not asking you to write an essay. We're not asking you to come in for an interview. Like, this isn't a scary thing. This is literally, use your words. They're powerful. We believe that. And take 60 seconds to make your case for who in your life deserves $1,000. And so if I'm speaking at a school, talking to teens about this, they say, it comes down to three things. Tell us how you know the person. We want to make sure that you're giving to someone that you have a relationship with. So how do you know them? And then kind of what happened to them? So why are they down on their luck right now? What came up that is making finances a strain, and $1,000 would be super helpful. And then the third part is, what do you hope for them? So it's a little bit of optimism in there. I hope that with this $1,000, they would be able to get back on their feet, but they would more importantly maybe know that the people are thinking about them. Some of our recipients are people that are, I would say all of our recipients, they're there's a common trait, too, of these are hardworking, selfless individuals that would be the last, you know, to think of themselves needing $1,000 from a team. And so that's kind of part of the fun, is watching them light up thinking, oh my gosh, you're 15 years old and you thought of me,
yeah,
and you wanted to give this to me. It's just such a, you know, it's just such a surprise, but it's so exciting. And that empowering moment lasts way longer. You know, the money can help get you through.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Now, has there been one story in particular that really has, like, touched your heart and, like, massively inspired you?
Oh, my gosh. It's like I don't have kids yet, but it's like, how do you pick your favorite? I think one thing that was pretty amazing, it just happened a couple of weeks ago, there was a student council that had heard about the Zing Project, and they immediately knew they wanted to nominate Mr. Wolfel. He was a teacher at this school for decades, and now is a substitute teacher, so all the kids had him, you know, fill in for whatever random class, but they loved him. There's something special about him. And he recently, you know, in older age, had some heart issues and went in for some surgery, and his wife's health has been kind of failing too. And so the teams were already planning to make him their homecoming parade marshal, thinking that might give him a boost. But they were thinking, what could we do? We want to give him a gift. We want to support him. What we wish we could give him money, but we're just, you know, the student council. And they found out about the Zing Project a week before homecoming. So they quickly applied for Mr. Wolfel, told us all about him. And within a week, we turned around the Zing. And so he was at the school's variety show. They presented him with the check in front of the entire student body, standing ovation. He had no idea what was coming, nor that, you know, that students today care about him. You know, he thought, here I am, just a substitute teacher, but his investment had just left such an impact on them. So it's just a full circle moment of, you know, people who are unsung heroes in our life, you know, they sometimes go through hard times and they need to be reminded that people are looking out for them.
How awesome. People are looking out for them. Now, where does all this money come from?
So it's one family, believe it or not, here in Chicago, and they anonymously write the checks.
And that's that simple. Now, how can people give you money?
It's a great question, and we've gotten that question before. Right now, we're just looking for people to help us out by spreading the word. It's that simple.
You have to spread the word about Zing Project. Now, how can we find you on social media?
Yeah, we're, it's funny, our hashtag is Zing Project. I think Zing is like a really cool Scandinavian travel company. So if you want to look at Eastern European or different types of travel destinations, you might find that with Zing. But Zing Project is where you'll find all of our stuff. And what I would say, too, go to YouTube. I mean, you know, I can get lost looking at amazing videos that make you cry and laugh. If you need, you know, a little diversion in your workday or in your school day, go and look at Zing Project on YouTube. You see all of the videos of our teams giving these checks away, and it's just like chills. So if you like a video, great. If you want to share one with your friends so they can kind of see how it works, it's really a cool visual thing to experience and witness.
Absolutely. So at Twitter, go to Zing Project, Instagram, Zing Project, and on Facebook, Zing Project. So speaking of Zing, where do you see Zing going in a year from now?
A year from now? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if all 50 states, like, things were happening all over? Because, you know, the country had different pockets of needs all over. You know, what may be a need in some person's backyard is totally different across, you know, across the country. So I would just love for this story to continue to be told and for teens to have this transformative experience. Because while we do, you know, it's exciting to see people getting help, it's also so exciting to see teens transforming into givers. And, you know, I think what you said at the beginning of the show, dreaming bigger, reaching bigger. I mean, these teens who make a video, I would say probably half of them think, is this for real? I'm going to try it anyway. And then when they're selected, it's like, you know, we have this one girl, Gloria, on the south side of Chicago. Her video's online. She's amazing. And after she did her ring, I said, so what was that like? Like, what's going through your head right now? And she's like, I'm 15 and I just gave someone $1,000 and he's helped someone pay their mortgage. What is that? It was just this funny moment of like, yeah, you're 15 and you did this. And she said, you know, I'm going to take more chances. I'm going to try more things. And I think that's what I would just love for this opportunity to keep spreading. And we are so thankful for you and Max and friends for sharing this and hearing about this. And if this continues to buzz around the country, like, it means more teens are experiencing what it's like to be a giver. And I love that.
And that's what we love, too, about the Ving Project. And that's why when I saw Raven Simone talk about it, I said, we got to have them on Max and Friends. So, Jill, I'm so happy that you're here spreading the word about the Ving Project. And, you know, for everyone listening, even kids, just remember, if you've done a video and it didn't get picked, that's all right. No experience is ever wasted. Everything has meaning. So just because the Ving Project didn't help you in that moment, they're helping so many others, and it should inspire you to continue to help those in need. So I just want to put that out there because I know some kids probably get upset when their videos aren't done. Wouldn't that be correct?
You know, we say apply again. Like every 30 days you can make a new video, and we consider you a part of the Ving family by just making a video. Because
just making
your heart
a video.
Is open.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I love it because it does. You know, I believe that once you put something out there and you let people know, it's like what you're looking for is looking for you. So the Ving Project and Jill, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Max and Friends. We're going to keep tweeting and we're going to keep posting. So we're going to Ving it out. Thanks so much for being here, Jill.
Awesome. Thanks, Max.
Have a good night. All right, y'all. Well, we got to wrap this show down. So what is everyone listening to right now on Max and Friends? On LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome for the first time. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. And if you're here for all these years that I've been here, thank you for being with Max and Friends. Now, exciting news, and then we're going to go right into You Are Just Ego in a Bag of Skin. All right? So, LA Talk Radio has a new app, like super brand new, super high tech, super off the hook. I want you all to get it. It's free. Download it. Take the app wherever you go. We had apps before radio stations had apps, like, you know, 93.1 in South Florida. They're like, our new app. I'm like, girl, please. We had LA Talk Radio apps forever. And the new one is going to rock your world. Go get it. Listen to all the amazing shows on Channel 1, Channel 2, and video here on LA Talk Radio. This is how much I love LA Talk Radio, that this is a free spot. Okay? How you doing, Sam? But for real, get the app. It's groovy. Let me know what you think at Max Tucci. I'm going to be updating my page, I promise. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on Max and Friends. I'm just like caught up between my book and Max and Friends and the television show and the charity. And whew, I just am so grateful and thankful. I really am super, super grateful for all of you. Thank you for tuning in. Follow your passion. It will lead to your purpose. And Alan Watts, we're going to play now because, and this is what he says. And after I listen to it, I'm like, that man is just so wise, and he's no longer with us, but these recordings are. You are just ego in a bag of skin. What does that all mean? Well, stay tuned to Max and Friends, and you'll find out. I'm going to sign off now and say goodnight and good karma and take life to the max. But right now, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere, because Alan Watts. I love you all for listening. The Ving Project. Find out more about it. Go Google it. Love you all. Good night.
I wonder what you mean when you use the word I. I've been very interested in this problem for a long, long time, and I've come to the conclusion that what most civilized people mean by that word is a hallucination. That is to say, a false sense of personal identity that is at complete variance with the facts of nature. And as a result of having a false sense of identity, we act in a way that is inappropriate to our natural environment. And when that inappropriate way of action is magnified by a very powerful technology, we swiftly begin to see the results of a profound discord between man and nature. As is well known, we are now in the process of destroying our environment as a result of an attempt to conquer it and master it. And we have not realized, therefore, that our environment is not something other than ourselves. In assuming that it is, we have made a great mistake and are now paying the price for it. But most people would agree with the lines of the poet who said, "I, a stranger and afraid, in a world I never made." Because we have the strong sensation that our own being inside our skin is extremely different from the world outside our skin. That while there may be intelligence inside human skins, and while there may be values and loving feelings, outside the skin is a world of mechanical process which does not give a damn about any individual and which is basically unintelligent, being gyrations of blind force. And so far as the merely biological world is concerned, gyrations of libido, which is Freud's word for blind lust. It should be obvious that the human being goes with the rest of the universe, even though we say in popular speech, "I came into this world." Now, it is not true that you came into this world. You came out of it. In the same way as a flower comes out of a plant or a fruit comes out of a tree. And as an apple tree apples, the solar system in which we live, and therefore the galaxy in which we live, and therefore the system of galaxies in which we live, that system peoples. And therefore people are an expression of its energy and of its nature. If people are intelligent, and I suppose we have to grant that if, then the energy which people express must also be intelligent, because one does not gather figs from thistles and grapes from thorns. But it does not occur, you see, to the ordinary civilized person to regard himself or herself as an expression of the whole universe. It should be obvious that we cannot exist except in an environment of earth, air, water, and solar temperature, that all these things go with us and are as important to us, albeit outside our skins, as our internal organs, heart, stomach, brain, and so forth. Now, if then we cannot describe the behavior of organisms without at the same time describing the behavior of their environments, we should realize that we have a new entity of description. Not the individual organism alone, but what would now be called a field of behavior, which we must call rather clumsily the organism environment. You go with your environment in the same way as your head goes with the rest of your body. You do not find in nature faces arriving in the world sui generis. They go with a body. But also bodies do not arrive in a world which would be, for example, a plain ball of scrubbed rock floating without an atmosphere far away from a star. That will not grow bodies. There is no soil for bodies. There is no complexity of environment which is body producing. So bodies go with a very complicated natural environment. And if the head goes with the body and the body goes with the environment, the body is as much an integral part of the environment as the head is part of the body. It is deceptive, of course, because the human being is not rooted to the ground like a tree. A human being moves about and therefore can shift from one environment to another. But these shifts are superficial. The basic environment of the planet remains a constant. And if the human being leaves the planet, he has to take with him a canned version of the planetary environment. Now, we are not really aware of this. Upon taking thought and due consideration, it does occur to us, yes, indeed, we do need that environment. But in the ordinary way, we don't feel it. That is to say, we don't have a vivid sensation of belonging to our environment in the same way that we have a vivid sensation of being an ego inside a bag of skin, located mostly in the skull, about halfway between the ears and a little way behind the eyes. And it issues in these disastrous results of the ego, which, according to 19th century common sense, feels that it is a fluke in nature, and that if it does not fight nature, it will not be able to maintain its status as intelligent fluke. So the geneticists are now saying, and many others are now saying, that man must take the course of his evolution into his own hands. He can no longer trust the wiggly, random, and unintelligible processes of nature to develop him any further, but he must interfere with his own intelligence and, through genetic alterations, breed the kind of people who will be viable for human society. And that sort of thing. Now, this, I submit, is a ghastly error. Because human intelligence has a very serious limitation. That limitation is that it is a scanning system of conscious attention which is linear. That is to say, it examines the world in lines, rather as you would pass the beam of a flashlight across a room or a spotlight. That's why our education takes so long. It takes so long because we have to scan miles of lines of print. And we regard that, you see, as basic information. Now, the universe does not come at us in lines. It comes at us in a multidimensional continuum in which everything is happening altogether everywhere at once. And it comes at us much too quickly to be translated into lines of print or of other information, however fast they may be scanned. And that is our limitation so far as the intellectual life and the scientific life is concerned. The computer will greatly speed up linear scanning, but it's still linear scanning. And so long as we are stuck with that form of wisdom, we cannot deal with more than a few variables at once. Now, what do I mean by that? What is a variable? A variable is any one linear process. Let's take music. When you play a Bach fugue, and there are four parts to it, you have four variables. You have four moving lines, and you can take care of that with two hands. An organist using 2 feet can put in two more variables and have six going. And you may realize, if you've ever tried to play the organ, that it's quite difficult to make six independent motions go at once. The average person cannot do that without training. The average person cannot deal with more than three variables at once without using a pencil. Now, when we study physics, we are dealing with processes in which there are millions of variables. This, however, we handle by statistics, in the same way as insurance companies use actuarial tables to predict when most people will die. If the average age of death is 65, however, this prediction does not apply to any given individual. Any given individual will live to plus or minus 65 years. And the range of difference may be very wide indeed, of course. But this is all right. The 65 guess is all right when you're doing large-scale gambling. And that's the way the physicist works in predicting the behavior of nuclear wavicles. But the practical problems of human life deal with variables in the hundreds of thousands. Here, statistical methods are very poor, and thinking it out by linear consideration is impossible. With that equipment, then, we are proposing to interfere with our genes. And with that equipment also, be it said, we are trying to solve our political, economic, and social problems. And naturally, everybody has the sense of total frustration. And the individual feels, well, what on earth can I do? We do not seem to know a way of calling upon our brains, because our brains can handle an enormous number of variables that are not accessible to the process of conscious attention. Your brain is now handling, or your total nervous system, to be more accurate, your blood chemistry, the secretions from your glands, the behavior of millions of cells. It is doing all that without thinking about it. That is to say, without translating the processes it is handling into consciously reviewed words, symbols, or numbers. Now, when I use the word thinking, I mean precisely that process, translating what is going on in nature into words, symbols, or numbers. Of course, both words and numbers are kinds of symbols. Symbols bear the same relation to the real world that money bears to wealth. You cannot quench anybody's thirst with the word water, just as you cannot eat a dollar bill and derive nutrition from it. But using symbols and using conscious intelligence, scanning, has proved very useful to us. It has given us such technology as we have. But at the same time, it has proved too much of a good thing. At the same time, we've become so fascinated with it that we confuse the world as it is with the world as it is thought about, talked about, and figured about. That is to say, with the world as it is described. And the difference between these two is vast. And when we are not aware of ourselves, except in a symbolic way, we are not related to ourselves at all. We are like people eating menus instead of dinners. And that's why we all feel psychologically frustrated. So then we get back to the question of what do we mean by I? Well, first of all, obviously, we mean our symbol of ourselves. Now, ourselves, in this case, is the whole psychophysical organism, conscious and unconscious, plus its environment. That's your real self. Your real self, in other words, is the universe as centered on your organism. That's you. You say, let me just clarify that a little for one reason. What you do is also a doing of your environment. Your behavior is its behavior as much as its behavior is your behavior. It's mutual. We could say it is transactional. You are not a puppet which your environment pushes around, nor is the environment a puppet which you push around. They go together. They act together. In the same way, for example, if I have a wheel, one side of it going down is the same as the other side of it going up. When you handle the steering wheel of a car, are you pulling it or are you pushing it? No, you're doing both, aren't you? When you pull it down this side, you are pushing it up that side. It's all one. So there's a push-pull between organism and environment. We are only rarely aware of this as when in curious alterations of consciousness, which we call mystical experience, cosmic consciousness, an individual gets the feeling that everything that is happening is his own doing, or the opposite of that feeling, that he isn't doing anything, but that all his doings, his decisions, and so forth, are happenings of nature. You can feel it either way. You can describe it in these two completely opposite ways, but you're talking about the same experience. You're talking about experiencing your own activity and the activity of nature as one single process. And you can describe it as if you were omnipotent, like God, or as if it were completely deterministic and you hardly existed at all. But remember, both points of view are right. And we'll see where that gets us. But we don't feel that, do we, ordinarily? What we feel instead is an identification of ourselves with our idea of ourselves. Or I would rather say, with our image of ourselves. And that's the person. Or the ego. You play a role. You identify with that role. I play a role. It's called Alan Watts. And I know very well that that's a big act. I can play some other roles besides Alan Watts if necessary. But I find this one is better for making a living. But I assure you, it's a mask, and I don't take it seriously. You know, the idea of my being a kind of messiah or guru or savior of the world just breaks me up. Because I know me. So I, you know, it's very difficult to be holy in the ordinary sense. So I know I'm not that. But most of us are taught to think that we are whom we are called. And when you're a little child and you begin to learn a role and your parents and your peers approve of your being that, they know who you are. You're predictable. So you can be controlled. But when you act out of role and you imitate some other child's behavior, everybody points the finger and says, you're not being true to yourself. Johnny, that's not you, that's Peter. And so you learn to stay Peter, or to stay Johnny. But of course, you're not either. Because this is just the image of you. It's as much of you as you can get into your conscious attention, which is precious little. Your image of yourself contains no information about how you structure your nervous system. It contains no information about your blood chemistry. It contains almost no information about the subtle influences of society upon your behavior. It does not include the basic assumptions of your culture, which are all taken for granted and unconscious. And you can't find them out unless you study other cultures to see how their basic assumptions differ. It includes all kinds of illusions that you're completely unaware of, as, for example, that time is real and that there is such a thing as a past, which is pure hokum. But nevertheless, all these things are unconscious in us, and they are not included in our image of ourselves, nor, of course, included in our image of ourselves is there any information about our inseparable relationships with the whole natural universe. So this is a very impoverished image. When you ask a person, what did you do yesterday? They'll give you a historical account of a certain number of events in which they participated and a certain number of things which they saw, used, or were clobbered by. But realize at once that this history leaves out most of what happened. I, in trying to describe what happens to me this evening, will never be able to describe it, because there are so many people here that if I were to talk about everyone whom I've seen, what they were wearing, what color their hair was, what sort of expressions they had on their faces, I would have to talk till doomsday. So instead of this rich physical experience, which is very rich indeed, I have to attenuate it in memory and description to saying, oh, I met a lot of people in Philadelphia. And there were men and there were women, and lots of them were young and some of them were old. You know, it's the most utterly impoverished account of what went on. So therefore, in thinking of ourselves in this way, what I did yesterday, what I did the day before, in terms of this stringy, mangy account, all I have is a caricature of myself. And you know, the caricaturist doesn't draw you all in. He just puts certain salient features whereby people will recognize you. It's not a skeleton. So we are, as it were, conceiving ourselves as a bunch of skeletons. And they got no flesh on them, just a bunch of bones. And no wonder we all feel inadequate. We're all looking for something to the future to bring us the goodie. We know we ought to have. There's a golden goodie at the end of the line somewhere. There's a good time coming, be it ever so far away, that one far-off divine event to which all creation moves, we hope. And therefore we say of something that's no good, it has no future. I would say it has no present. But everybody says it has no future. Now, here we are, as it were, psychically starved. And always, therefore, seeking. And this confused seeking is going on everywhere. We don't know what we want. Nobody knows what they want. We say, yes, we think of what we want in vague terms. Pleasure, money, wealth, love. Fulfillment, personal development. But we don't know what we mean by all that. If a person really sits down to figure out, write a long essay, 20 pages, on your idea of heaven, it'll be a sorry production. You can see it already in medieval art, whether it is depictions of heaven and hell. Hell is always much better than heaven. Although it's uncomfortable, it's a sadomasochistic orgy. Wow-ee, you know, hell is really rip-roaring. Whereas all the saints in heaven are sitting... you know, very, very smug and demure, like they were in church. And you see also the multitudes of the saved. Instead of this writhing, wormy thing, you can see all their heads, which the artist has drawn to abbreviate them, just the tops of their heads in masses. They look like Cobblestone Street. flattened out. So what has happened then is this, that our I is an illusion. It's an image. And it is no more ourself than an idol is the Godhead. But we say, it can't be so because I feel I really exist. It isn't just an idea in my head, it's a feeling. I feel me. Well, what is it that you feel when you feel I?